Hey, everybody. Good evening. My name is Mike Malloy. Welcome to tonight's program. If you hung around to about 4:30 Eastern time today, you heard Obama make a rather brief statement. And he left it to follow-up statements to clarify certain points. We are going to have two sound bites for you this evening, taken from his brief remarks today. Of course, the right wing has just gone absolutely nuts. The crazy pundits, it's really weird. Conservatives right now, the teabaggers, the conservatives, Republicans, whatever you want to call them, are a bigger threat to this country than Osama bin Laden or Al-Qaeda ever could be. I think it's been said over the course of our history that we'll never be defeated from without. What will bring this country down, and it's happening now, are these thugs from within. Cowards all, but willing to, you know, slice and dice the country for their religious or their political gain or their ignorance. One of the three or all three together. So it's been kind of bizarre. I want to say amusing, but this crap is not funny anymore. It's been really bizarre to watch and listen to the right wing. Speaking of the right wing, did you hear about Michael Reagan, the adopted son of former President Ronald Reagan and his wife Jane Wyman? I say adopted son because Michael Reagan likes to claim kinship with Ronald Reagan to further his own tacky career, but he usually doesn't work. I think most real conservatives understand that Michael Reagan is only there by virtue of the fact that Ronald Reagan and his first wife Jane Wyman adopted him. That's the only reason he can make that claim. But Michael Reagan, who has said some things on his radio show that are just outrageous, I mean really, really, really disgusting stuff, violence and ugliness and hatred and blowing up Muslim babies and just, I mean, insane stuff. Well, his own son, Cameron Reagan, who's 31, was in jail in L.A. this morning after police arrested him at Michael Reagan's house in Van Nuys outside Los Angeles. He was arrested on suspicion of resisting arrest, and apparently he was very drunk on his ass when the police got there. Michael Reagan said his son did not know that he had tripped an alarm when he arrived home with friends early in the morning, about 1 o'clock in the morning, when Cameron, that's the 31-year-old's name, heard a commotion outside. He went outside and found the house surrounded by police. Now, Michael Reagan, the great family values freak, he doesn't live there. I don't know who lives there. Michael Reagan is just an absolute ghoul. I've never met him, don't ever want to. You contrast Michael Reagan with Ron Reagan. Ron Reagan, who is really a decent guy. Michael Reagan, who's an absolute monster. Well, here's another example of how these right-wingers so pollute and destroy their own families. Cameron Reagan, Michael Reagan's 31-year-old son, busted by L.A. police for all kinds of bad stuff. According, he was drinking, very uncooperative, according to an LAPD officer. Arrested on suspicion of arrest, resisting arrest, and was held in lieu of $10,000 bail. I'm sure by now this sick bastard Michael Reagan has probably posted the bond for him. So as these family values types, isn't it? Bob Barr. If ever there was a right-wing lunatic in this country, it was Bob Barr. I happen to have spent time around this guy because he used to represent, Kathy? The 7th Congressional District? A real hotbed, or was it 4th? I don't know. The congressional districts in North Georgia had been jiggered a little bit. But Bob Barr was a federal prosecutor during the first Bush administration. Is that right? And then he ran for Congress. He was in the Congress for a long time. He was one of the House managers in the impeachment of Bill Clinton. He's just an absolute raving right-winger. But get this. He has a blog that he publishes through the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And today, he posted a blog with the title, Critics of Obama Way Off Base on This One. Bob Barr says, yes, the not-so-bright would-be terrorists from Nigeria got through international domestic security mechanisms supposed to have stopped him long before the jerk lit his underwear afire before landing in Detroit. And yes, the incident happened during the administration of President Barack Obama. But the sniping at the president by Republicans, including former Vice President Cheney, and by conservative radio and TV commentators, borders on, if not passing into, asinine. Bob Barr goes on to say the criticism has included such childishness as blasting Obama for waiting a few days before making a national speech on the incident. For heaven's sake, Barr writes, the president was briefed on the incident from the moment it occurred. He made statements almost immediately indicating his concern and that he was being regularly briefed. He took time to gather the facts and meet with his national security team, and then he appeared publicly to give a rational, measured, hard-hitting response. And for this, a former vice president, Dick Cheney, criticizes him. Partisanship, Bob Barr writes, truly has pervasively infected our political system. When a reasonable, measured, factual, timely, and substantive response by a president to a single security incident, the roots of which clearly indicate long simmering problems that predated his tenure in office, when that incident is publicly blasted, when the response by the president is publicly blasted as irresponsible, in point of fact, those leveling such counterproductive attacks are the ones engaging in irresponsible behavior. Now, it's a very milquetoasty kind of statement, really. But the fact that it comes from Bob Barr. Now, at his blog site where this was posted at the AJC, Jesus, Hopping Christ, there were about 700 responses to this. I waded through some of them. The usual right-wing nutcases who immediately attack, they're like vampires, right-wingers. They're like vampire wolves or something. They attack their own. As soon as somebody on the right steps out of line to these Nazis, so they immediately went after Bob Barr, and it was just astonishing to read some of this stuff. The ignorance of these bastards just knows no boundaries. So Bob Barr makes a statement. You know, Bob Barr, like a stopped clock, can be right twice a day. He makes a statement that's factually correct, very low key. And these little cowards on the right who, immediately jump on the blog site and start posting this garbage. I get some of them write to me, too, but they never make it through the filter, you know. But it's just unbelievable to read this stuff. Oh, my God. But there's Bob Barr defending Barack Obama. I'm sure Obama, probably being the type of man he is, probably sent Barr or called him today and said, thanks, Bob, for defending me. But, defending someone against this ravenous, bloodthirsty right in this country, defending someone for doing the right thing, is astonishing. It really is. The right wing in this country has destroyed the country. We're going down. We're going down slowly. And as the nation goes down, as our societal, what am I trying to say? As the fabric of the society is ripped to pieces by these pigs, arising out of this comes the teabaggers and the Glenn Becks and the Sarah Palins and these monstrously insane sons of bitches who will not be happy until the country is totally destroyed. So for Bob Barr to defend someone under those circumstances is almost ludicrous. How do you defend someone who simply does the right thing? Well, that defense is needed when so much of the chattering class in this country is insane. Just totally insane. It's unbelievable. Anyway, I thought you'd like to know that. Stick around. We have a long way to go. I'm Mike Malloy.
Yeah. a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
And very scary to right-wingers, too. Very scary. Who's this? This is Daryl, who's in Queens, New York, listening on Sirius. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How you doing?
Okay. Listen, I've listened to some of the right-wing radio talk shows. It's very political that they're being now. It shows you this because they're all over Obama. Uh-huh. That nobody was fired for this Detroit episode. and 9/11 happened with a loss of a couple thousand lives, and nobody was blamed or fired.
Now, be careful, because what you're doing is applying logic to these right-wing jackasses, and you can't do that. I mean, these are thugs. You know, these are punks. These are jerks. Don't take these right-wingers serious.
It's showing you how political they are, because even with Cheney, the man getting on Obama for not responding for 3 days, and Bush didn't say nothing for 6 days.
Well, it's
public.
It's not just that. Well, the right wingers, since right wingers are brain dead. Come on, Daryl, they're brain dead. They're just brain dead. So they want something right away. If they don't get something right away, they start peeing their pants. They're cowards. Right, they're brain dead.
But is there consistent? The people that are listening to them, even if they're diehard Republicans, they gotta see through this.
No, they don't. Don't ever think that these right wingers see through the smoke screen that these punks in radio and television and the blogosphere are putting out. That, you know, people listen to this garbage and believe in this garbage. They don't see through anything. They couldn't see through a piece of a clear plastic. You know, they can't see anything. They're mindless. They're just like, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. Don't let it bother you, my man.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. It is. All right. Thanks.
All right, Mike. Thanks.
Thanks, Daryl. Thanks. Appreciate you checking in. I don't know. Who's this from? Jen. All right. Jen writes in, Mike, I'm so pissed off. I hope you don't mind my venting. The whole underwear bomber and missing him before he got on the plane is basically chalked up to clerical error. I'm sorry, but this is really upsetting me. We have children and babies on the no-fly list, yet this guy is able to walk right on by. Something smells terrible here. Funny how this guy is able to get on the plane like he was, and how interesting this happened right when criticism of the Obama administration and Democrats seemed to be reaching the peak. As the left wing, as we are called, I don't get that sentence, so that's right. We are frustrated with the bailout after bailout and the way corporate America is winning more and more control of our lives. Suddenly, this scary situation happens on Christmas! Please don't get me wrong. This so-called gentleman is a very disturbed individual who truly needs help and was easily influenced by an extreme group, not unlike those individuals who are easily influenced by the teabagger front and wingnut talking heads and bring a gun to certain events. But to get back to the situation at hand, our Goldstein, reference there to 1984, is alive and well, it seems, and instead of doing the right thing and absolutely logical thing, we are fed the clerical error line, and we see more humiliation at the airports and more names to the no-fly list. Oh, well, my humble 2 cents for what it's worth, Jen. Yeah, there's a double frustration going on here, and Jen pretty well articulates it. I feel the same thing. First of all, there's the frustration that the don't forget what happened during the last weeks of the months of the Bush crime family. People who had political appointment jobs put in place by these neo-Nazis in the Bush-Cheney administration, their jobs were reclassified as civil service, so they are embedded. We have people who want to destroy this country. They're all Republicans. They're all right-wingers. The Republican Party wants to destroy the country. The Republican Party is now fully engaged in acts of treason against the United States. It's been slowly building to this, and it's finally happened. In order to facilitate that treason, they have embedded these parasites into the intelligence community, into the transportation community, into the transportation safety community. We are chock-a-block with people in a different time and era would be dragged to the street and shot in the back of the head and then kicked to the curb. Because these are people, these Republicans, these right-wingers, these embedded freaks who are determined to bring down the country. And so we have that frustration. On the other hand, We also have the frustration of seeing a man that we put into office refusing. I mean, he's wasted a year in reaching out to these vermin. He should have said to the Republican Party a long time ago, get your ass out of my way. Sit down. I will run over you. And all remember the dictum. All Republicans are cowards. All Republicans. I don't care if they're office holders or that freak in your office or wherever you work who talks about Obama the Negro and so on and so forth. They are cowards. As soon as you bitch slap them a couple of times, they wet their pants and run the other way. So Obama knows this. Obama knows this. He's no fool. He understands. He knows what's going on. He should have from day one said the Republicans, get out of my face or I will kick your ass up around your ears. And that would have worked because there's one thing Republicans understand, and that's a firm hand and a boot in the butt. Trust me on that. We'll be right back.
There's a camera across the street. Supposed to be protecting me, storing every little file. Make a promise and take a while. Hooked up to a satellite.
The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey-free zone.
You are indeed. Well, occasionally some of these little snots get through, but they usually just harass Kathy. Would you have another one? What'd that guy want? Just a freak, huh? 25 before the hour, I'll say the same thing I've always said. Any of you right wingers who have the courage, that you can handle it, call in and talk politely to Kathy, and she'll put you on the program, and then I will cut your heart out, so to speak. If any of you have the courage to even try, most of you are better at you right wingers are better at lurking around the program than writing emails. You effing liberal! And then they usually misspell it. Pam is in Las Vegas, listening on XM.
Hello?
Hey. Hi, Pam.
Hi. I heard you you say on your show that, these right-wingers want to bring the country down. They want to destroy it. But, I disagree with you on that, because what I believe is that what they really want to do, and I believe it's the machine, the right-wing machine, not the little working class right winger that has manipulated them into wanting to give this country over to the corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think in a certain sense, when I hear something like you say something to the effect of, that they're trying to bring the country down, it almost sounds something similar like when the Republicans say things like that Obama has a death squad. It's like, for any rationalizing human being, it's kind of, we know that they're not trying to bring the country down. They're not smart enough. They're so stupid, they're letting the machine give it over.
I get your point. But they are contributing. The little right-wing vermin in this country, the rank-and-file Republicans, the rank-and-file conservatives, the ones that insist that Obama has no right to be in the White House or what have you, they contribute. They're like termites. They eat away at the foundation of a house, and then finally the house collapses, and it's the termites who really brought it down. Don't forget, the biggest threat in this country are from these right wingers. Corporate America ultimately is going to win. The right wingers, the little rank and file right wingers, are never going to win anything. It's corporate America that's going to win, but the right wingers, the Republicans, are the ones that are bringing the country down.
They're bringing it down, in the sense that they're so mindless, as you say, that they're giving it over. They're just going along with anything they hear. So it's quite unfortunate.
It is, but it's also very typical. Republicans are incapable of thought. They have to be told what to believe by Limbaugh or Bortz or Hannity or Beck or somebody. Hey, thanks, Pam. I appreciate you checking in. Take care, okay?
Thanks for taking my call. Bye.
You bet. Bye-bye. You disagree with that? About right-wingers, they are incapable of changing their own diapers, much less political thought. But anyway. All right, President Obama today on strengthening intelligence and aviation security. Like, that's going to do something, right? Anyway, Obama took responsibility, which, wait a minute, I got the wrong way. Here it is. Obama here explains the three failures that led to the near terror attack above Detroit on Christmas.
It's now clear that shortcomings occurred in three broad and compounding ways. First, although our intelligence community had learned a great deal about the Al-Qaeda affiliate in Yemen, called Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, that we knew that they sought to strike the United States and that they were recruiting operatives to do so. The intelligence community did not aggressively follow up on and prioritize particular streams of intelligence related to a possible attack against the homeland. Second, this contributed to a larger failure of analysis, a failure to connect the dots of intelligence that existed across our intelligence community and which together could have revealed that Abdul Muttalib was planning an attack. Third, this in turn fed into shortcomings in the watch listing system, which resulted in this person not being placed on the no-fly list, thereby allowing him to board that plane in Amsterdam for Detroit. In sum, the U.S. government had the information scattered throughout the system to potentially uncover this plot and disrupt the attack. Rather than a failure to collect or share intelligence, this was a failure to connect and understand the intelligence that we already have.
My goodness. Really? Can you imagine if George W. Bush would have said something like, rather than a failure to collect or share intelligence that brought about the destruction of 9/11, it was a failure to connect and understand the intelligence that we already had, which would still be a lie. Because Cheney and Bush knew exactly what was going to happen. They might not have known when it was going to happen, but they knew it was going to happen, and they let it happen because they are killers to begin with, and they want to see, and still do, want to see the country die, as do all right-wingers. But Obama says here the intelligence community did not aggressively follow up on and prioritize particular streams of intelligence related to a possible attack against the homeland. Right. And the intelligence community operatives who failed to do that, failed to do it deliberately so. These are Republicans. These are people appointed by Cheney who have been embedded in our intelligence system. And they are going to cause the deaths of hundreds, if not thousands, more Americans here in the United States. Now, the way they're going to cause it is by allowing information to be deep-sixed, to be hidden, by not forwarding up the chain of command information that they will come across, because they want to see, Republicans want to see this country dead. Conservatives want to see death and destruction on a massive scale in this country, because to Republicans, governance is like a football game. It's not about advancing the interests of the society. It's about their tacky little degenerate team winning. So the double problem here is the fact that our intelligence community is chock-a-block with these rat bastards. And frankly, I think what Obama should do is to send a scouring squad. I don't know, maybe military, especially trained military types who will go through the intelligence community, grab these Republicans by the goddamn throat and drag them out into the street, round them up, put them in a van and send them someplace. Let them be put on trial for treason against the United States. But Obama is not that type. Obama's the type who will say, well, OK, it was a failure to prioritize particular streams of intelligence related to a possible attack. Come on, Mr. President. Kick ass. Take names. You know what's going on. You know as well as I do. You know what's going on. You know what's going on. These right-wingers are trying to bring you down, and in the process, they want to bring the country down. They are sick sons of bitches that really, really should be stopped in the most blatant, upfront, brutal way. It's enough of this game's playing. You know what I'm saying? Now, having said all that, the best thing Obama could do would be to say, okay, the game's over. We're pulling all of our troops out of these Muslim countries since they don't want us there to begin with. Let them all go to hell in a handbasket if they want to. Let them live in their repressed religious communities, just like the Christians do in this country, and to hell with them and bring the troops home. You bring the troops home, Mr. President, and that'll be the end of it. That'll be the end of it. Because the only reason that we're getting this kind of attack or potential attacks by the outsiders, not the Republicans. The Republicans just want to destroy the country. They're sick sons of bitches. These other ones are religiously, well, so are the Republicans, religiously motivated. But if we just get out of the countries that want us gone, don't you think that would stop this? Of course it would. Of course it would. Now, Obama, we have one more soundbite for you, and I guess we'll have to wait. Yeah, let's wait on that one, the second one, all right? Because in that one, Obama takes responsibility for the Intel failure. You can't imagine Bush doing that. But I don't know. I don't like that kind of a statement. I take responsibility for the failure. If somebody honestly believes that they are responsible for a failure, then they should fire themselves or resign or whatever it takes. The statement is worthless. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything if Bush says it, if Obama says it, if some punk-ass Republican says it. It doesn't make any difference. If you really are taking responsibility, then get out of office. Resign. What Obama should say is, you know, we have this vast 250,000-person Homeland Security Department, one of the biggest agencies ever put together by this crazy predecessor of mine, this Republican freak who put this thing together with 20 agencies under the Department of Homeland Security, including the Coast Guard, and these dumbasses can't walk and chew gum at the same time. Hell no, it's not my responsibility. I'll tell you whose it is for this failure. It was this guy, and then name him, and this woman, and that one, and that one. And if he started naming names, every one of those sons of bitches would be Republicans placed in these positions by Bush and Cheney. And then, after naming them, he should say, you've got 5 minutes, I don't care where you are. Are you in Yemen? Are you in D.C.? Are you in Florida? Clean out your desk and get the hell out of my government.
From the moment you wake and leave the house in the morning, the terrorists or Democrats strike without warning. So to your back seat in bed, wear a bucket on your head. That's what I said.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
All the treasury's being bled.
10 before the hour. All right, one more soundbite here from Barack Obama today when he, after meeting with his team, his appointed team, the people he chose, which is not where the problem is, obviously. That's why his meeting with those people, I think, was for public consumption. What's he going to say to, I guess Mueller? He didn't appoint Mueller, but I mean, what's he going to say to people like Gates or Hillary Clinton, you know, his security team? The real problem lies two or three levels down in the scum, this anti-American scum that worked for Bush and Cheney and were implanted into so many of our systems, governing systems in this country before Bush and Cheney fled the executive branch. They're the ones, like I say, and I mean this. I mean this absolutely. They should be weeded out. It's very easy to find out which of these filthy political appointees were given civil service jobs. And like I said, grab them by the back of their goddamn necks and drag them to the street and just say, you've got 10 minutes. Clean your desk. Get out of town. Get out of my administration. That's the only way to deal with this kind of traitorous coward. That's the only way to deal with them. It makes no sense to try to negotiate with these bastards. Anyway. I digress. So Obama takes responsibility for the intel failures, which he has no business doing. I understand, you know, the buck stops here and all that craziness. But still, can you imagine Bush doing it? But again, Obama should not do that. He should say, I'll tell you where the responsibility lies, and then fire the bastards. But here he is.
I am less interested in passing out blame than I am in learning from and correcting these mistakes to make us safer.
Why?
For ultimately, the buck stops with me. As president, I have a solemn responsibility to protect our nation and our people. And when the system fails, it is my responsibility. Over the past 2 weeks, we've been reminded again of the challenge we face in protecting our country against a foe that is bent on our destruction. And while passions and politics can often obscure the hard work before us, let's be clear about what this moment demands. We are at war. We are at war against Al-Qaeda, a far-reaching network of violence and hatred that attacked us on 9/11, that killed nearly 3,000 innocent people, and that is plotting to strike us again. And we will do whatever it takes to defeat them. Here at home, we will strengthen our defenses, but we will not succumb to a siege mentality that sacrifices the open society and liberties and values that we cherish as Americans. Because great and proud nations don't hunker down and hide behind walls of suspicion and mistrust. That is exactly what our adversaries want, and so long as I am president, we will never hand them that victory. We will define the character of our country, not some band of small men intent on killing innocent men, women, and children.
Well, but that small band, or that band of small men intent on killing innocent men, women, and children consists of Limbaugh, Beck, Hannity, Crazy Eyes, Michelle Malkin, you know the gang, these right wingers, you know, the teabaggers, Sarah Palin. These are the people, the band of small men and women intent on killing innocent men, women, and children. They are Republicans. They are conservatives. They want death and blood. They think their Jesus freak will be happy and will come back and bless them and rapture them all up. In the meantime, since they are insane, they're trying to make the rest of the country insane and deliver it to corporate America. It's madness. I tell you, it's just, I don't know why anyone who claims to be a Republican or conservative is allowed to walk freely on the streets. They ought to be taxed. They ought to be told, look, you are such a drag on this society. We're going to tax the hell out of you. We're going to put you in a 95% income tax bracket. We're going to take everything you have. We're going to put you on the street. We're going to send you to a group home. We're going to medicate you because you are a conservative, and that means you are clinically nuts, and you're trying to end our country, and we won't stand for it. What? You don't think that's a good idea? I think it's a great idea. You want another example? You want another example of this madness? A former top attorney for Bush was charged in Connecticut today with attempted murder after he allegedly attacked his wife with a long flashlight, tried to beat her to death. John Michael Farron of New Canaan, Connecticut, was arrested after police received a panic alarm from his home shortly after 10 p.m. Wednesday. Boy, you got Michael Reagan's drunk son on the West Coast. You got this psychopathic Bush attorney on the East Coast. Mary Farron, the wife, 43, a partner at the law firm of Skadden Arps, suffered a broken jaw, facial fractures, lacerations to the back of her head from the attack. Now, why did he attack her? Other than the fact that he's a psychopathic, crazed Republican nutball? Because Mary Farron had delivered divorce papers to him earlier this week, according to the arrest affidavit. Who is this guy? John Michael Farron was named a deputy assistant to the president and deputy counsel to the president in 2007, according to his White House biography. He served as an undersecretary at the Commerce Department during Pappy Bush's administration. Mary Farron's attorney described the attack as brutal. Her attorney told the local Greenwich Time newspaper, quote, she's terrified of him, and we asked that as many restrictions be placed upon him as possible. He was ordered held on $2 million bond and scheduled to appear on January 21st in State Superior Court in Stamford, Connecticut. So another Bush family values, somebody who I'm sure doesn't want the queers to get married because, I mean, my goodness, if the queers got married, that would, I don't know, that would degrade the idea of marriage, wouldn't it?
Provider and licensing.
That's a good dance song. It is 7 past the hour. We have about 2 inches of snow on the ground in North Georgia, hills in North Georgia mountains right now. And as you can well imagine, people are just absolutely freaking out. Absolutely freaking out. Kathy's watching the 10 o'clock newscast to, you know, that little, what do they call that thing that on the scroll on the bottom to see if Molly's school is closed. We'll be lucky to get 2 inches of snow. And it's just, you know, I mean, for it's astonishing. Kathy was brought up here. I was brought up north, but we lived in Chicago for 3.5 years. And
well, you know why Molly's excited. It's not just the snow. There's a new addition coming to our family tomorrow.
I didn't know you were pregnant.
I didn't either. We're getting a little puppy.
Yeah, we're getting a dog. And Molly's real excited about it.
Yeah, right? She actually crawled into the crate.
The little cage?
Yes, because she wanted to see if the puppy, you know, would like it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, we're getting a rescue dog. Is that what you call him? Rescue dog? Yeah. So.
Well, it's a rescue puppy.
Rescue puppy. Right. I hope we're making the right decision here. Bruce writes in, Richard Clark, former national security advisor, or what was it? What was Richard Clark? Yeah, I guess that's what he was. Richard Clark pointed out in an interview today that he was under the impression that there is a sophisticated computer system to do that dot connecting we hear so much about. It should have taken these pieces of clear information, made the obvious conclusion, and sounded alarms at the appropriate agencies without any human intervention. The alarm would have to be deliberately ignored at a fairly high level. There should also be an electronic trail to follow, unless the Bush crime family, who spent billions to set this up, had the equipment built by the same people from whom they bought the voting machines. Yeah, it's a good point. All this connecting the dots, that's like, I hate that cliche. It's like, at this point in time, that's the lasting impression from the Watergate hearings for me that make me insane. At that point in time, how in the hell do you have a point in time? How do you connect dots? I hate these little metaphors, these little phrases that just become embedded like fleas, like members of the Bush crime family who are hell-bent to destroy the country, the ones that are embedded in our intelligence agencies. And they're just determined to kill as many American men, women, and children as they possibly can. The sons of bitches. Your phone calls in a second. Amy, who listens on KPOJ, writes under the subject line, "The sky is falling, the sky is falling." She writes, "Now we're going to spend billions of dollars to further securitize the air travel. How fortunate for Michael Chertoff to be representing a client who makes the very full-body scanners that Obama wants in all the airports." Does anyone remember 15, 20 years back now when there was a movement to put stronger doors on the cockpits of airplanes, making them impenetrable, but the airlines said it would mean them putting less customers on the plane and refused to do it? If that had been done, would the attacks on 9/11 have happened? Or would the project for a new American century found another Pearl Harbor? Go back to the 50s, when a Mr. X had the CIA send Kermit Roosevelt and partner to Iran to undermine the government of the duly elected president and installing the Shah, a rather harsh dictator. If that hadn't been done, and all the other times we, represented by the CIA, secretly invaded and undermined other elected governments, would the Middle East be so upset with us now? Some see attacking the United States as the only way to get our attention and get us out of their homeland. Or the time we, represented again by the CIA, dealt in drugs to get money to buy black market weaponry to give the hostage takers in Iran, undermining the authority of a sitting and duly elected president of our own country. Talk about pissing in your own bed. We undermined our own country, Amy writes, accepting that politicians were corrupt and not demanding they be better. I'm waiting for the collapse of the country once known as United States of America. I wonder who will take us over, who will invade or enter our country for our own good to protect us, and then will we become the insurgents when we fight them? Amy, I don't think anyone's going to invade the country. We already have been invaded by the homegrown terrorists that are Republicans and conservatives. They're the ones who are destroying the country. Brian is in Manchester, New Hampshire. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Hanging in there.
Good.
Hanging in there. Up here, New Hampshire, they're going after my representative, Carol Shea Porter, and Representative Paul Hodes are two New Hampshire progressive Democrats. They really are. They don't take a penny in corporate money for their campaigns. But she's against the new total body scan airport screening.
Right.
The Manchester Union hater newspaper here. It's called the Manchester Union Leader.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with that paper. What a rag.
Yeah, it is. Shameless rag to total propaganda. I usually get it only for the classified ads for the local news.
I hear you.
But Carol Shea Porter, she's against the bill there for total body screening. She has co-sponsored a House amendment with Representative Jason Chaffetz, Republican of Utah, that would prohibit airports from using whole-body image scanners as the main method of screening airline passengers. Airports could use the scanners as a backup method, but only if security guards felt there was a reason, such as setting off a metal detector. And she goes on, she's not totally against the scanners. You can see... If somebody's on a terrorist watch list or on a no-fly list, they probably shouldn't be on the plane if they're on a no-fly list. But if there's anything suspicious, they should be. She's not against them being scanned. But at the same time, you know this as well as I do, that the technology in these total body scannings, even the less graphic, quote-unquote, systems that this Chertoff and his company is backing up the scanner promotion. They want to supply another 300 to the government. It's not really proven, and it could have long-term health concerns for people. And also, these phony moralist Republicans with the total body scanning, what about the child pornography laws that are in 50 states about, you know, a terrorist is going to, these are, if you follow the official 9/11 story, et cetera, they are ruthless enough, they would plant a bomb on a child's body. For people, you know, a TSA screener or anybody might be less suspicious of a child, of course. But they would do it. So the full body scanning process, it revolves around, it is real civil liberties, the Fourth Amendment and all of that, about do we want to really sink that far into a totalitarian state where every part of our body, if we want to take a plane flight, every part of our body is supposed to be exposed to public screening, basically.
Well, yeah, you know, was it Franklin?
It's a big question, I know.
Ben Franklin said, you know, those who would give up liberty for security will wind up with neither. I realize I'm paraphrasing. Hey, thanks, Larry. Brian, appreciate you checking in. Where did I read this today? I read it in somebody's column. Do what the Israelis do where it concerns airport security. They talk to people. They're airport screeners. When somebody comes through and they have a ticket and the proper documents, someone will say hi to them. An Israeli security person will say, hi, I hope you have a good flight. How are you doing today? And then they will pay very close attention to the reaction. Why don't we do that? Oh, wait a minute. That's right. Have you seen the people that work for the TSA? The hour, you know, periodically on this program we talk about the efforts of people to get married, even if they happen to be same gender. And we had the caller last night, and I did my level best to explain to him that marriage is a contract sanctioned by the state. It has nothing to do with religion, never has had anything to do with religion. I don't care what the Christian crazies say. And that's the reason that every religious person who performs a wedding says at the very end, now by the power vested in me by the state of blank, blah, blah, blah. And I had that guy on the phone, and bless his heart, he just, I don't know, it just wouldn't sink in, would it? If you were listening last night, you know what I'm talking about. But I got an email from Hernan in Buenos Aires, Argentina. That's how they say it, Argentina. He writes, Mike, last week here in Argentina, a gay couple celebrated the first gay marriage in Latin America. The first thing that comes to mind is this. I'm very proud of my country. Although I'm heterosexual, married with children, I support gays in this issue, not because it's a legal contract, as you always state, but because it's the, I think he means consecration of the love between two people, nothing more. In Argentina, the church and a bunch of extreme right-wing people are against it, but the whole society supports it, mainly because we know we don't have the right to intervene between relations, feelings, and needs that belong to and are exclusive to other people. The couple are two gay activists that were fighting to get married for a long time. They couldn't do it in Buenos Aires because there was a legal dispute between the city. And the city wanted to okay the marriage and the federal court. So they went to Ushuaia, the capital of Tierra del Fuego, and the local judge married them. The news went around the world, and I'm very glad to know that a so-called third world country, that would be us, Argentina, has these types of first world attitudes toward their people. If you would be so kind, Mike, please read this email on your show. I think it can make a strong point, because almost the entire world is heading in that direction, and the U.S., sooner or later, will have to follow. If the society supports it and understands the need to respect the rights of others, especially of a minority, the Christian right would have nothing to say on the issue. Never again. Hernan and Buenos Aires. Well, there you go. Yeah, I read about that. I saw the headline, I think, in the New York Times, and didn't read the whole story. It's madness. It's more of the crazy political and Christian right. I don't care where they are. Argentina, United States, Israel, doesn't make any difference, you know. I don't know. Does Israel allow same-sex marriage? I don't think they do. All right, what else? Got this email. We were talking last night about the insanity that is Dick Cheney, and I suggest it's because he's had so many heart procedures. Something happens to people when they have those kinds of operations or pacemakers or whatever. And I get this email from Mag, who writes, "My father was a kind, humorous, loving guy when I was a young child. Then he had a heart attack. After that, he became irrational, uptight, and very mean. He was hypercritical, a nasty drunk, and extremely prejudiced. The rest of the family pretty much believed that his extreme personality change occurred because his brain was affected by the coronary incident." When you talked about Cheney with the caller from San Rafael last night, I really think you hit the nail on the head. The guy is nuts, or has dementia, or whatever you call it, and he should not be given a platform to spew his insanity over the mass airwaves. Just like all the press coverage of Sarah Palin, the lunatics are running the show and using other lunatics for pundits. You can say that the elites that are running everything from Washington to Wall Street to the Pentagon are greedy and power hungry, but I think it is more accurate to say they're just a pack of lunatics that got too much control when they actually should be committed or jailed. Yeah. Well, that, thanks, Mag. They are lunatics, and they actually should be, I think, jailed. I really do. Like I said, I would send a squad of investigators and find out who had been given, first of all, Bush-Cheney appointments, and then at the last minute. Do you remember that? It's toward the end of the Bush-Cheney destruction of this country, and there was an article, either the Washington Post, New York Times, someplace, about all these rat bastards whose jobs were converted to civil service jobs so they could stay on and continue to destroy the country. And I think, you know, it'd be very easy to find out who these people are and, I don't know, turn them over to a committee who would decide what to do with them. You know what I'm saying?
If I just had other priorities, like feeling more at ease, they bomb them to hell, but I'd rather not be Kentucky Fried.
Chicken Hawk.
Call me a Chicken Hawk.
Chicken Hawk.
Proud to be a Chicken Hawk. Watch while I bring to mock. Receive to all Iraq. I didn't walk the walk, but I could talk the talk. Why did the chicken cross the road? Well, I'll tell you part. Chicken crossed the road to join the Texas Air National Guard. Roll call.
Hey, truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. We have two open lines here if you want to call in. 877-996-2556. Larry is in Kingman, Arizona, listening on XM. Hey, Larry.
Hey, Mike. I heard you talk about the rats chock-a-block in the intelligence.
Uh-huh.
Just this morning, I heard Senator Ron Paul say something that I don't think I ever heard another senator say, that the CIA was dangerous and that it was too close to the flow of the drugs and the drug money.
Uh-huh.
And that was great to hear somebody say it,
mm-hmm.
even if it was a libertarian. But at least somebody said something for a change. Usually they're afraid to say anything.
Yeah, I can find myself in a lot of agreement with Ron Paul, just like I can with Bernie Sanders. Ron Paul being a libertarian, Bernie Sanders being a socialist. I think both of them understand how corrupt the system has become. Ron Paul takes a little bit too far for me where it concerns doing away with necessary government services. We're 300 million people in this country. We can't all just pretend like we're going our own way. We have to cooperate. We have to have regulatory agencies. We have to have all the things that Ron Paul or the libertarians would say, no, you don't need to have them. I think that's where he and I really part company. As far as Bernie Sanders is concerned, I don't find myself in too much agreement with anything that he says. Both of them, I think, have really good ideas. I'd love to see a Bernie Sanders-Ron Paul ticket.
That would be good.
And see what the hell would happen. Maybe it would save the country. But to hear a member of Congress and remember, Ron Paul has an R after his name, but he's not an R. He's an L. And you know that as well as I do. He was a libertarian candidate for president back in when? 1980, 86, 84, somewhere around there. Or was it early 90s?
Last time some people ran him, he looked really surprised that he got so much interest.
Yeah. Yeah.
He wasn't really seriously trying to run.
Well, I think, you know, when he was nominated by the Libertarian Party, I guess it was in the early 90s. I'm just trying to remember when it was, early 90s, I guess. But, no, he was a serious candidate in much the same way that, what's his name, the one that ran in 92 and the result of his running, Ross Perot, the result of Ross Perot stealing a lot of votes from Republicans and Democrats, put Clinton in office. That's the only way Clinton won. You know, Clinton had only, 44% of the vote. So I think Ron Paul was a serious candidate. I just wish he wasn't quite so out there on the fringe in certain issues. And to me, he is. I mean, other people think he's right on the money. Maybe so. Maybe it's, maybe I'm on the fringe.
Today he said that there's too much secrecy covered the CIA and that should be more open. And there's too much going on behind a veil of secrecy. And I sure agree with that. I'm sure glad somebody said it out loud.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I am too. Larry, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. All right, take care. Christine is in West Hollywood listening on KTLK. Hey, Christine.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a comment about what you were saying about the TSA people and the way they handle airport security in Israel, where they talk to people, and here they don't. And I was, my understanding is that in Israel, they pay those people a lot of money. They're very intelligent. They ask really good questions. They screen them very well. They do look for reactions. Our people are not paid anything, and they don't have that sort of discernment. They aren't even the head of that TSA is being held up because he would be amenable to them having, you know, being members of a union.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that also that the corporatocracy plans to make a heck of a lot of money off of those, you know, X-ray machines they want to use, those scanners.
Mm-hmm. Sure they do.
Additionally, when they had those puffer machines, they were going to go puff on your body and then, you know, they would detect whatever puffed off.
Yeah, they didn't work, right?
They didn't work, but we sure paid a lot of money for them.
Yeah, about 160 grand a piece, and these new ones are 150, plus these new ones will just add a little bit more radiation to people that they don't need.
Yeah, well, what about people who are like commuters or or traveling salesmen have to be on those, you know, I mean, that has got to be detrimental at a certain point, I would think.
Now, I want to be clear on what you said at the beginning of your call. Were you defending those screeners?
Oh, absolutely not. I think, what you were doing was giving a rational point of view. Why don't we do what they do in Israel?
Right.
But here, we live in a corporatocracy.
Right, okay, I get you, yeah.
And they want to make money off of it.
Yeah, of all the times that I have flown, I'll tell you, I don't think I have met a more disinterested group of people in uniform than these TSA people who run the x-ray machines to look at your carry-on luggage or run a scanner over you if something beeps. There's just no interest. Now, I guess somebody can make an argument that the job is overwhelming, but by the same token, when I look into the eyes of these people, I don't see very many lights on at all.
No.
And to think that they are going to determine the other 160 people that's on that flight with me, whether or not they're a flight risk, that leaves me always feeling kind of nervous. But
and plus the fact they're making $1.380 an hour, so they probably have to have a second job to keep body and soul together. So they're probably tired.
Right. Sure.
And in Israel, I understand they pay them more than a living wage. They pay them well.
Well, it's a very important job. I mean, when you stop and think about what they are, what they are tasked to do, and then to hire people for that kind of wage, if you're paying not very far over minimum wage, you're going to get people who are used to working not very far over minimum wage. And then when you take the job picture the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And what constitutes training for these? I mean, the whole thing mixes up, smushes together, and you've got the potential for real chaos. So.
Yeah, well, they're going about it the wrong way. They're spending a lot of money on their technology when they could spend money on the people who will focus on the people getting on the airplane.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where the money should be spent.
I certainly agree with that. Thanks, Christine.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Take care. Pow. Rick is in Oakland, listening on Green 960. Hey, Rick.
Hey, thank you.
Sure.
I've found you missed about a week ago some frustration what to do with deal with this collapse of democracy, I guess you call it.
Uh-huh.
And I've found that sometimes when I don't do anything, the universe kind of reaches out if somebody's doing really bad and gets them. I had a lawyer that ripped me off for about $6,000,
mm-hmm.
and he had an accident. I had nothing to do with it, and was not really.
Right.
Well, I was thinking bad things, but I really believe that there's some opportunities that present themselves in this kind of situation. It's only for me. It's only like a 5% of the solution. But I found if I just take care, try not to hate people, and try to improve my physical health, that helps. The other thing I've done is what I don't do, and that is I'm an engineer. I don't work for a big corporation,
mm-hmm.
and so there's a lot that you can not do. The other thing I've done is I've kind of pretended that we've already collapsed.
Uh-huh.
And so I've learned some of the simple solar technologies, not solar electric, but, solar heat,
mm-hmm.
Home gardening, and just try to maintain my own spirit in a peaceful way. I think that goes a long way. And like I said, it's not very much, but it's all I've got, I think, to kind of cope with this insanity that, I like the phrase one person used, a stew of stupid.
Stew of stupid. So, yeah, and I feel like an onion floating in that stew. Yeah. Go ahead.
To keep your spirit up, and, I'm not caving in to the forces that are going on, but sometimes you have to admit that, they're overwhelming right now, and let them dig their own, future.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that sort of thing is right, Rick. And thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate it. I used to believe in the invisible whip also, you know, that just let things be. And the universe will right itself, just given the laws of physics. That has nothing to do with supernaturalness. It has to do with the laws of physics. But then I realized that the negative energy put out by Republicans and right-wingers is so tiny when you it's almost not there in a quantum sense when you balance it against the other energy in the universe, so it's not noticed. I think the best way to bring about balance is just to go beat the hell out of some of these people, frankly.
I shine my light through the cool Colorado
for a liberal helping of truth. It's More Mike Malloy.
Yeah, it is. 10 before the hour. Back to your calls. Dee is in Orlando listening on XM. Dee, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike.
Hey.
Listen, I hear you talking about the security and the operation of the Israeli type TSA.
Right.
And I have a little bit to add about that, having flown in and out of there as a pilot, perhaps, oh, I don't know, 100, 150 times
okay.
in Ben Gurion.
All right.
These guys are absolutely terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And they do exactly as you represent. They talk to people, and they are looking for people, not devices, et cetera, et cetera. They're highly paid, highly skilled.
Right.
And we should adopt a system like that, except, and here's the big exception, LL flies in and out of there probably 12 to 15 times a day, and
mm-hmm.
that's it. And then they take the Sabbath off.
Mm-hmm.
So the situation is entirely different. Can you imagine LaGuardia on a Friday afternoon with a number of people attempting to talk to individual? No, I can't either.
No.
But it's tempting to follow that line of reasoning to think that these highly skilled individuals can do this job, but it just won't work in our environment.
You're a pilot. You're a commercial jet pilot.
Exactly.
What is your overall assessment on passenger safety? I'm not talking about mechanicals. I'm not talking about competency of the flight crew. I'm talking about this other stuff now. The possibility of people boarding these flights who are bound and determined to commit mayhem, murder, mass murder. What is your attitude as a pilot? How safe are we?
My opinion is basically that the TSA is basically eyewash. That's the way it started.
Mm-hmm.
And, they don't detect a whole lot. And like you say, or like other individuals have called in to say, that they're somewhat disinterested in the task at hand. And they do catch a number of people, I suspect, carrying shampoo and pocket knives and toe clippers and stuff.
Right.
The best thing we have done, I think, is to secure the cockpit doors, mm-hmm. lock them tight, and not open them under any circumstances.
Right.
And in the event that something's going on in the back of the airplane, you land the airplane as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the airplane will no longer ever, under any circumstance, become a guided missile. They mm-hmm. may destroy it, but they won't destroy anybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's a necessary evil. I'm unwilling to give up, you know, my civil liberties or rights, et cetera, to, you know, to let them take pictures of me. And it's bad enough as a pilot to walk through there and have your stuff all searched through, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. What am I going to do? I can do, once I get on the airplane, you can search my baggage, but on the back of every cockpit door is strapped what we call a crash axe. So why are they looking at me? I got the crash axe. It's already in the cockpit, and I can unstrap it whenever I want it.
What's a crash axe?
A crash axe. That's any event that that you need to egress the cockpit, either through the windows or through the door. After a landing that you're not going to walk away from, it's there to help you get out of the airplane. Sometimes an airplane may land pressurized, and if it's pressurized and you're on the ground, there's no way you can open the door. So you've got to smash a window to get out of it to at least let the air escape and you get out of the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, crash axe. I thought crash axe has been with me since the first time I climbed in a cockpit. But anyway, my weapon is installed in the cockpit already for me if I have some kind of a death wish, I suppose.
Yeah.
And anyway, the Israeli situation is great on the fly.
Well, as far as civil liberties, at 39,000 feet, I'm more interested in my safety than I'm interested in whether or not, one of my U.S. constitutional rights have been infringed on a little bit when I got on board that aircraft, if you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
Right. Because it's not like, you can't pull over to the side of the road when you're at 38,000 feet if you have an unruly passenger. You're kind of up there. You can get down, but, I'm the type of flyer. Look, I don't care. When I go through security, I don't show them a driver's license. I show them my U.S. passport. And it's amazing when you show that and they take a look at it, look at your picture and look at you. That's kind of the end of it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
If somebody wants, I'd bitch and complain. If somebody wants me to take my shoes off, yeah, okay. What a pain in the butt. But I'll tell you what, I'll take off any damn thing they want me to take off if everybody else does. Cause again, at 39,000 feet, I just want to sit back and watch an in-flight movie.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. For me, I want the airplane to get to the destination. I want to land and call it a day.
There you go. Thanks for checking in, D.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mike, for what you do. Yes, sir. Good night.
Good night. Appreciate it. Appreciate your call. Yeah, I'm a great one for civil liberties and human rights and yada yada yada. Absolutely. But again, if you're a flyer, if you're up there, and you're a passenger, the first thing you give up is even an illusion of control. You depend on the flight crew, and I've never flown with a flight crew at the end of the flight that I didn't feel like they had done a good job. I mean, what's a bad job? Most of these pilots have a lot of them. Not I don't know if most is the right word, but they've had combat experience. They know how to operate an aircraft. It's what goes on back where I'm sitting that has me worried. I don't worry about the flight crew. I worry about the potential freak sitting across the aisle from me who all of a sudden starts screaming something and frothing at the mouth and trying to set his shoe on fire. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. It's about 7 past the hour. Welcome back to the Molloy Program. During the break, got an email here from Rod in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Mike, Rod in Daytona Beach. Love what you do. Always will. Thanks, Mike. These filthy conservative or con artists always profess how much they love America. Well, if so, why do they hate us Americans so much? Listening on XM 167 down here. Thanks again, Rod in Daytona. Thanks for writing, Rod. Crazy Tom is in El Monte, California, listening online. Hey, Crazy Tom.
Yeah, hey, let me get one point back. I just came back from China.
Yeah?
And I was able to listen to you in Beijing, son of a gun.
Oh, yeah? We're not blocked on the Chinese internet.
No, Facebook is blocked.
Huh.
Right? YouTube is blocked, but I could listen to Mike Molloy on Apple iPhone. Whatever the application is,
right.
The Apple iHeart, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. I mean, I heard you. It was great. I didn't call in because it was cost prohibitive.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the they have a thing. What you do? You have this. I hate corporate America and Apple iPhone, and you know, God, I love my Apple iPhone, but I hate corporate America.
Right.
And the thing is, if you really want to screw them, okay, what you do is you, when you go to China, instead of paying them $200 to $400 a month for all the stuff that you need to use,
mm-hmm.
go pay $15, which is $100 yen, to the local, you know, any electronic computer. You know, they have them all over the place. You know, I mean, these little shops in China that do electronic computers, it's all over. You know.
Yeah.
So you just go to one of them, and you know, it's like black market or whatever. But they'll you know. For $15, you can, you know, use your stuff in China.
Well.
So, and screw the Bank of America. I'm just closing out my account there. I'm not doing no more business with them. I'm moving all my stuff to USAA, you know. I'm lucky one of those service guys that got the USAA bank, you know.
Yeah. So why were you in China, Tom?
Well, my capitalist Chinese wife, which I am a communist, basically. But she's trying to sell American products to the Chinese.
Right.
And she's doing it. And as a matter of fact, her new partner is the customs officer for Beijing. That's her new partner.
Wow. Wow. You're going to be rich. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? A rich communist?
I am going to go to Atlanta, Georgia. I have friends in Georgia, and one day we will meet, you know, on the green chug-a-lug, drinking that green rainbow stew, buddy.
All right. I'm all for that.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Take it.
I love you, man. Keep doing it.
All right, Crazy Tom. Take it easy. Take it easy. Crazy Tom is really, really cool. I like Crazy Tom. David is in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Hey, David.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm getting along,
good.
I guess.
Good.
When the lady was talking about, and then the pilot called in about the TSA and the
right.
security in Israel and such, they failed to mention, and you have up to this point, I've been listening, is that... the people in Israel actually work for the airline. They actually work for the private company. That's why they get paid as well as they do.
Sure.
That's why they have the interest that they do in making sure that the airline is safe, because they are employees of the company.
Right. Well,
there's an important factor that's involved in that, other than just being, you know, just a slob, you know, the government slob that just has their hourly worker. And so the reason that they are as safe as they are is because of the private industry that expects that out of their employees.
Okay. In the first place, I just assumed that people understood. I guess I didn't make it clear that the employees who screen the passengers are in fact employees for LL. Sure. And as far as
that's a big assumption though, because I've spent a lot of time on the road lately, late at night and stuff. So I've tuned in to listen over numerous evenings as I've been driving back and forth to my job sites and such. And I think that's a stretch of an assumption, because the way that it comes, because actually the funny part that I found throughout this is that you and I actually have the same angers and the same, we believe that the government is doing the same thing, but you believe that it's coming from one side and I believe it's coming from another. We actually have, it's amazing how many of the same angers that we have and the same issues and problems that we have.
Well, let me ask you.
But we sit on completely 180 degree opposite direction.
Who set up Homeland Security? Whose creation is that? And the Transportation Safety Administration that's part of Homeland. Who did that?
Oh, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I'm not a Bush fan. I'm just way more conservative. I mean, I was absolutely against the prescription drug bills. I can name a number of things. I mean,
why are you against them? Why are you against people being able to get prescription drugs that are provided on a basis of competition? You're contradicting yourself. Let me finish. Hold on. I'll put you on hold. If you are really a conservative, then you would believe in competition in the marketplace. In other words, a free market. Yes or no?
No, I absolutely do.
Okay. The Bush administration refused to allow that to happen when they put in the drug benefit, so-called, in Medicare. What the Bush administration, what your conservative government did was said
there was...
No, wait. That's how I'm going by how they identify themselves. You want to identify them some other way, go ahead. But they called themselves conservative. And what they said was, we're not going to have any competition because the drug companies own us. So we're just going to do it like this. There's no competition. We can't get the best price, and the American taxpayer will pay for it. Now, I can give you 100 examples of how that sort of thing occurred during the Bush years. Now, you give me one that's occurred so far in the Obama year. Go ahead.
That's not even number one.
No, wait. Come on. Look, this is my playground. You got to understand something, David. If you want to call my program, that's fine. But when you come into my playground, you'll play by my rules. I'm an ass kicker when it comes to that. Now, I'll give you one more shot. I can give you 100 examples of how the Bush crime family that painted themselves as great big ass conservatives were nothing but lying fascists. Now, you give me an example, one example of how the Obama administration, they've been around for a year now, almost, give me an example of where they've corrupted things the way Bush did. Go ahead. Just one.
Where they corrupted things? I mean, by having SEIU be a part of...
Oh, Jesus Christ, you're not going to do that. Okay, goodbye. The service employees... David, do me a favor, don't call the program again. I gave you an absolute chance to make a coherent, rational statement, and you screwed it up. You blew it. I asked you to give me one example of in a year how the Obama administration has done anything comparable to what the Bush crime family did. Now, there are probably dozens of examples available, but because your brain is so clotted with some kind of right-wing nonsense, you tell me you're not a conservative. No, you're not. You're one of these right-wingers. And your brain is so stuck with this right-wing nonsense, you couldn't even come up with something that the Obama administration has done. I can give you one right now. They have continued the surveillance on American citizens that was put into place by your right-winger, George Bush. Now, the next time somebody asks you a question, maybe you'll unclot your brain for a second and be able to give a coherent answer. But in order to do that, you got to stop listening to Glenn Beck.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair, and I'm wondering.
truth seekers, here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. Two former Blackwater contractors were arrested today on murder charges in Raleigh. They're charged with the murder of two Afghans after a traffic accident last year. That's according to an indictment that was obtained by the Associated Press. These two, Justin Cannon, who's 27, Chris Drotliff, who's 29, they've both been charged with second-degree murder, attempted murder, and weapons charges. FBI agents arrested both of them. Both men have said in recent interviews with the AP that they were justified in opening fire on a car that caused an accident in front of their vehicle, then turned and sped toward them. The indictment says the shooting at a Kabul intersection killed two people. At least one other person was injured. These two guys, who are both military veterans, worked for Paravant, a subsidiary of Xee, the company formerly known as Blackwater. So here we go again. This other group of Blackwater thugs, the case against them was dismissed. Right? And when we invade these countries, I don't care what the rationale is, what the public rationale is. I don't think there's any doubt why we invaded Afghanistan and then Iraq. We had no intention of going after, I don't care what Cheney or Bush or any of these rat bastards said, we have no intention of trying to get Osama bin Laden or anybody else in Afghanistan. That was an entirely different reason to invade Afghanistan. Invading Iraq, then for the oil on the one hand, but on the other hand, it places U.S. military garrisons on both sides of Iran, to the east and to the west. Isn't that a coincidence? We still have 130,000 troops in Iraq, and we're approaching 100,000 in Iran. So, the people in Afghanistan understand fully why we're there. They're not, you know, they're not buying into this horse hockey about, oh, they're here to bring it, what, so we can, so our girls can go to school? Oh, sure they are. They're there because corporate America wants them there. Blackwater, I don't care what name it uses. It can use the name, Mickey Dipstick. It doesn't make any difference. It's still Blackwater. I don't care how many times they change their mind. And there are two or three other ones, too. Blackwater is the one that's getting all the focus. But as these guys, these civilians, who, as we have pointed out and others have pointed out, they're under no laws at all. The fact that when they're in these countries, the fact that these two have been busted and charged with second degree murder by the U.S. Justice Department is a clear indication that the Bush-Cheney Justice Department is no longer operating. But they are not under the control of the military. They just piss on the laws of the country that they're operating in. They don't care about that. We also have them in Pakistan. When I say we have them, the Obama administration is still allowing these people, Blackwater, Xee, DynCorp, the rest of these hired killers. That's all they are. They're hired killers. I mean, they're not military people. Not now. They're hired killers. They go in to do this because the money's a hell of a lot better than when they were sergeants in the Army or the Marine Corps. You got to be a sick son of a bitch to be a mercenary. I mean, you really do. You really do, because they're not there defending freedom or mom or the kids back home or the right of Americans to stand on the 4th of July and watch a parade go by. They're not there for that at all. They're there to make money killing people, busting people up. To be a mercenary is to be a complete whack job. You know it as well as I do. If these guys are so interested in, well, how old are these two? 27 and 29. If they're so goddamn interested in going into combat, then go back and go rejoin back up. I don't know what service they were in, but join the Marines. They'll put your asses to work if you're so interested in, defending freedom, quote, quote. But that's not why mercenaries are there. You know it. I know it. They know it. So let's not pretend. They're there because they can kill with impunity. They can be tough guys. They can walk around with the sort of weaponry and the sort of immunity to prosecution that soldiers and Marines can only dream about. So this last gang of Blackwater employees, the charges against them have now been dismissed, I believe. The ones who committed a wholesale murder in downtown, where was it, in Iraq. So now we have two more. This is why the United States is going to have its ass handed to it once again, the same way we did in Vietnam with this little enterprise in Afghanistan. And it's because of people like this, among other reasons, that that's going to happen.
I never voted for Richard Pearl. I don't care what it is, I will step right in it. Before I'd vote for Bill Bennett. They'll take over the world if we let them. They'd like to take over the world, I'm not kidding.
Do you know why so?
It's about 25 before the hour. Regarding LL, a caller from Baton Rouge that could only come back with a statement about a union, a service employees union. I mean, my God. But anyway, concerning LL Airline, the caller said that it was, private airline. The fact is, in Israel, nothing is really private where it concerns national security. But Irish Dave writes in, Mike, it may be largely private, quote, quote. The employees union owns 8% of it and the government owns 13%. But LL is a national airline and is beholden to Shin Bet, military intelligence, where it concerns security issues. Not quite the same as Delta. No, not at all. Back to your calls here. Joe is in San Diego listening on XM. Hey, Joe.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Okay. You know, I can't believe that they didn't search this guy more thoroughly around his leg area.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was leaving San Diego last year to go to New York, I had a little hernia problem. And I was bulging around the sides and around the groin area. So finally they had asked me, it looks like you have some kind of explosives in your waistband or in your waistline.
Mm-hmm.
I told them, well, I don't. They said, well, we're going to have to take surveillance. So I pulled my pants down, my underpants. I just let it go, And they were astonished. It was like five of them there, officials from the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Just stood there with their mouths open because they had a bad groin injury. So they let me go. I put my pants back on, got on the plane,
mm-hmm.
took the flight to New York, had an operation, had the hernia fixed, and on the way back, I had my cat with me. They had to search the cat too, underneath the scanner, under its legs, rear end, around the side. I had to pull him up to the top.
The cat?
Yeah, the cat. Actually, the cat. My cat. Imagine that. In the rear end. I'm serious.
Come on.
I'm serious. in my deep peace of my mind. You know, JFK International Airport is no laughing matter when you go when you try to go back to where you want to go.
Yeah,
it's very different.
Now, you were traveling with your cat into the passenger department.
I was coming from New York, from Queens.
Yeah.
Well, JFK is in Queens too, but I came from a cab, waited there about 2 hours, getting the tickets, the baggage. Got the cat, and they looked at the cat, and then they wanted me, you know, they searched me. Of course, I was all right then. I didn't have the brain injury. I had the operation. And then they wanted me to put the cat through the scanner before we got on the plane.
Oh, my God.
This is true.
All right. Well, all right. I guess somebody could wire their cat.
And you're telling me, well, I mean, not you, but I mean, they're telling us that this guy had something strapped around his leg.
Yeah.
And both instances where I was concerned, I mean, I had like a little bulge around my waist, and I was interrogated, and they interrogated my cat. Mm-hmm. I'm not going for their story, telling that somebody must have slipped up on purpose.
Well, that's the feeling I have, Joe. There were too many red flags, so to speak, about this guy. That's why Obama's press briefing today, where he said he took responsibility and so on and so forth. That, you know, that's very noble of a leader, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Obama was on vacation when this happened. So, you know, how can it be his responsibility? Homeland Security was set up when he was, I don't know, maybe it was in the Illinois legislature at the time, but he had nothing to do with it. He appointed some key people to cabinet positions, but the Department of Homeland Security is totally corrupted by Bush-Cheney appointees. And, I don't know who is ultimately responsible, but it's not Obama. Obama could find out who's responsible for all this and fire their asses. And I think that's what he ought to do. I really do. Joe, thanks. Appreciate you checking in. Mike's in Chicago. Hey, Mike.
Have I mentioned how much I hate Blackwater tonight?
I hear that. I hear that.
Well, on a good note, I don't know if you saw or not, Iraq has now filed a lawsuit, quote unquote. They filed a lawsuit against private security firm Blackwater because the U.S. courts has thrown it out, saying that there wasn't enough evidence and it was, I guess, tainted evidence. And Iraq, the people are in the streets right now about Blackwater. They're so mad.
Uh-huh.
So in that case, it's a good thing. But Hillary Clinton, you can't complain about Halliburton in 2007 and then have Blackwater protect you when you go to northern China in 2009. How sick are you of hearing they're fighting for our freedom, these troops? It's like if we don't send them there, we're going to lose our freedoms. We're losing our freedoms by sending them there. We're losing all our freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to send you another bumper sticker I thought you'd appreciate. If you're sick of Lieberman now, wait till you really get sick. I thought you'd appreciate it.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one.
I'm so fed up with the whole situation. I don't even know what to do anymore, you know?
Well, I always thought that the Marine Corps, had the responsibility of protecting our diplomats, protecting, our embassies. The Marine Corps, had the responsibility and maybe the Navy SEALs and maybe, Army's Delta Force. They had the responsibility of going in, now I'm talking very broadly here, going into countries where it's illegal for them to begin there anyway, to be in there anyway. But to go in and paint, quote, quote, targets and provide coordinates and yada, 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 all that nasty stuff you do when you're an imperialist power and you want to destabilize another country or overthrow its government. How did we get to the point where we outsource this to a bunch of goddamn thugs like exist in these mercenary outfits. How did that happen? Why has not the Marine Corps Commandant gone into whoever was in charge of this during the Bush years and said, I'll be a son of a bitch if you're going to take away from my Marine Corps the responsibilities we've had since the 1790s?
And none of these generals have stepped up and said, look, these guys are actually counterproductive to what we're trying to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the worst part about it, is you've got Petraeus and all these other ones, and no one mentions the word Blackwater or Halliburton at all anymore in the news.
I can't wait till a squad of Marines decide they've had enough of this Blackwater stuff and frag these bastards to the point where, you know, there were 10 of them standing a few minutes ago, Blackwater or Z or whatever, and now all of a sudden they're all on the ground. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. You know, Marine grunts did this in Vietnam when they thought that their lieutenants or their captains were acting counter to the soldier and the Marine's best interests in a war zone. I wonder when it's going to start happening, when these soldiers and Marines say enough of this private contractor crap and open fire on these bastards for putting them in jeopardy.
Yeah, well, you know, the epiphany I had was, I don't know if you ever saw the Bill Maher episode where the general, Jeremy Scahill, who wrote the Blackwater book, was on Bill Maher's show, and the White House correspondent from MSNBC, you know, whoever's there all the time, his name
blows
my mind.
I know what you mean.
But he was bringing up the Blackwater thing, and all he did was say, Jeremy, you're just trying to sell a book. You're just trying to sell a book. And
oh
he said,
God.
No, you're in the White House every day. Why don't you ask these questions? And he disregarded it so blatantly. And that's when I just said to myself, we're just screwed. We're screwed.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear you. Well, Mike, thanks.
Okay, Mike, take care. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. I'm serious. I can you imagine if you're a combat soldier, and you know, part of you know, your prime directive is to kill things and break stuff. That's what war is all about. But your secondary directive is something to do with hearts and minds. You know, we're back to that again. And then you see these khaki clad, sunglass wearing freaks with no helmet come walking into an area that you're trying to pacify, or you're trying to hand out candy to the kids, or assure the local imam that you're not there to brutalize his mosque, and in walks these Blackwater bastards and the rest of these people with their guns blazing, dropping people like flies on the street. What are you going to do if you're a soldier or a Marine and your life has just now been put in complete jeopardy by some ex-hot rod who is now in civilian clothing but has the right to go kill people? What are you going to do? Huh? I know what I would do.
Don't hear a thing, and our history unfolds before you. It's a shelter. It's a shelter.
Before the hour, we're just about out of here, aren't we? Well, not yet. Jim is in Riverside, California, listening on XM.
Mike, how are you?
Hey, I'm all right. How are you doing, Jim?
Doing all right. Thank you, and I enjoy your show a lot.
Thanks.
I'm just quick comment. You know, I'm wondering, when is this stupidity going to end, you know, searching a cat at the airport and body scanners. What happened, Mike? Where's the civilization, you know, that we're talking about, the civilized world, you know? Where is it?
Well, I've said it before. I may be incredibly naive or worse, as a lot of people have insisted I am. But it seems to me that so much of this would not have happened going back to September 11th, 2001, had the United States been just a little bit more respectful of other countries' sovereignty, had been just a little bit more even-handed where it concerned Israel and the Palestinian issue, had been less inclined to overthrow governments like we did in Iran in 1953, had been a little bit more willing to listen when Arab-speaking or Muslim countries said, look, we have a grievance, will you please listen to us? So, you know, somebody earlier tonight talked about sometimes when they've been wrong, they just stand back and let karma or balance bring things right again. And I just wonder sometimes if all the evil, and it is evil, that the United States has done to so many countries, if it's not now coming back to just eat us alive. That's the way I feel about it. And I know that pisses some people off. Maybe it pisses you off, but that's how I feel about it.
I agree with you 100%. You know, I'm from the Middle East originally. I've been in this country for 30 years. I'm a citizen, and I never imagined, you know, that things could be this bad, Mike. At least in the Middle East, you know, they're all dictators. They die. They pass on to their kids, and they become president.
Right.
Here, it's a lot worse. You know, we pretend that we have a democracy, we have a civilization, and I honestly don't see any of that, Mike.
Well, it's getting less and less. That's for sure. And in the Middle East or any country that has a system that is just so foreign appearing to Americans, something that we would not like to do. You know, our system was set up so that families were not supposed to pass on leadership to their offspring, although the Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, certainly managed to do it with his son. But, you know, if countries operate that way, if they are tribal societies, if they, if the people are ruled by, a king or a sheikh or a royal family or a tribal council, and if the people decide, look, this is not working for me, then the people, based on their ability to change things, have a right to change it. But for the United States to go in under the pretense of saying, well, we're going to bring freedom, our brand of freedom, our brand of self-governance, to a society that doesn't know what the hell we're talking about, much less how it would operate. What are we supposed to do in Afghanistan? What is the goal there? To set up a Senate and a House of Representatives? What are they going to have? A Supreme Court based on our model? What are they going to have? McDonald's hamburger joints on every corner? This is madness. It's arrogance. It's imperialism. It's corporatism. And it's been going on since the end of World War I? Since the breakup of the Ottoman Empire, hasn't it? I mean, I don't know. I'm not that much of a historian. Tom Hartman would know. I don't know. I just know that the United States in the last 50 or 60 years has identified itself by its actions as the largest exporter of terror against other people. I'm not talking about governments now. I'm talking about people. The bombing and the killing and you know, how many people did we kill in Vietnam? 3 million? We defoliated their entire country. We dumped God knows how many gallons of Agent Orange. What have we done to the people of Iraq? We've completely salted the earth of their, you talk about the biblical references to salting the earth. We've done it with depleted uranium. What do we do in Central America? How many hundreds of thousands of people did we butcher there? You know, and for people to walk around, especially these goddamn brain dead right wingers in this country, these Republicans, these jerkwads who don't have a clue as to what has really happened. And to go on their radio or their television programs, the sob sister bastards talking about, well, the United States, this United States. Look, we had a chance to provide the kind of leadership by example And we blew it. We blew it. And just because, you know, the capitalism in this country decided to defeat the communism in the old Soviet Union, how many people do you think, come on, give me an estimate. How many people do you think were responsible for murdering? No, not the Soviet Union, us. I know what the Soviet Union do. They were sick sons of bitches, too. But how many do you suppose we've murdered since the end of World War II? Directly and indirectly. 5 million? 10 million? 15 million? And the rest of the world knows this. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Especially the Middle East. Especially, you know, this Christian-Muslim thing is just, I mean, it's beyond belief. What the goddamn century are we in? You know? All right. I gotta go. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Mulvoy.
Do it? We